And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, to fear, 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 to fear. Here on Declare Your Independence, me, Ernest Hancock, and Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU default studios of Freedom's of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Ooh, that was better.
You hit that one, you soprano, you.
One out of 20.
Used to be alto, but now you're soprano.
Keith Zernick. You know, Tarzan Keith, yeah, he's in studio saying hello. Yeah, you should be in studio more. You live, what, you know,
a skip, hop, and a jump.
Yeah, a couple of drive shots away.
Pretty much.
You know.
Hop on the bicycle, we'll travel.
So yeah. tell me, I got to do the pirate thing here because
right.
I pinky swore.
Right.
But, you know, so you went, this. We're going to hear all about your trip this summer.
Oh, my God, yeah, there's
you
a
went,
lot.
You went
Sweden,
to,
Germany. Czechoslovakia. Oh,
really?
Yeah, Czech Republic.
Oh, yeah, we got your text. You were at Bretton Woods.
I was at Bretton Woods, yeah.
They got your oh, the belly of the beast.
Belly of the beast, where it all started. The seeds were planted there, yes, of course.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, man, I want to know.
I ate that up. I took photos and,
yeah. Yeah, you did. Damn it. I gotta do it. All right, let me do this real quick. I'll see. You'll get the Evelyn Ward speed reading version, okay?
Yeah.
These guys. Now, what it was, the one thing that I wanted to make sure, you know, a lot of people, when I do this pirates of that boy, pirates, God, you're so piratey, you know? And I go, yeah. You know, I'm not here to convince you. I'm just here to help you understand why I'm so convinced.
Speaking the truth.
That the pirate meme is going to be popular in the 2020 thing. You know, and why would you think, all right, think about it. The most common mascot names in the United States, schools and sports teams and so on, are mostly animals. You know, like the number one is Eagles. 1,273 teams are Eagles.
Imagine that.
I mean, you know, the Eagles are fighting, but when they're not really fighting, they're having sex. So anyway, the Eagles, number one, 1,273. Number two is Tigers, 881. Okay, and then it's like mostly animals. And then, of course, there's Vikings and Warriors, Spartans, Trojans, Patriots, Knights, Pioneers, Braves, Cavaliers. I mean, you know.
Demons? Demons? Yeah. Satan? Is there, how many Satan symbols are out there? My high school was the Satan symbol.
Really?
The Demons. They actually wanted
to
change it.
Yeah, ASU Sun Devils.
Sun Devils. DePaul, which is a Catholic institution in Chicago, is the DePaul Blue Demons.
Ew.
Wake Forest Demon Deacons.
Okay, so there's some, you know, I didn't see any reference. Well, this is like top 10, top 20 kind of stuff
so
like that.
So it was 21 or something.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, God.
A lot of satanic, yeah.
Okay, well, in the top 20, they had, you know, Rebels, that's kind of against all flags, you
well,
know.
Well, South Mountain in Phoenix, which was more of a black Latino school, used to be the South Mountain Rebels, and they changed it to the Jaguars because the Rebels' connotation was a little more of the...
Hoodie?
Confederate. I mean, they're thinking Confederate. And their colors actually were not quite blue and gray, but...
The kind of Confederate
Yeah,
there's some administrator did that.
So in 90-something, they changed it.
Okay, well, everybody's changing everything. Well, you know, so I didn't include Rebels, even though that kind of could have been a pirate. But out of number 20, out of, I don't think that top 100 or something, but number 20 was Pirates at 255, but Raiders was at 282. Now, the Oakland Raiders, they're Pirates. Okay, so it's a pirate thing.
Right.
So I added Pirates and Raiders together. That's 537. So that's number 7. So the Pirate logo, the Pirate motif, the pirate, you know, concept. That's number 7 in all sports teams. You know, so I'm going, yeah, it's part of our culture. There's something going on here. Top 10 states, you know, the top 10 that you have, the states in the top 10 with pirate is Oklahoma, Oregon, and Arkansas. And I'm like, where the hell did that come from? I mean, I don't know why they're pirates, you know, but it's popular. Now, then I'm going, okay, you know, kids didn't costumes and so on. All right. In Alaska, in 2015, 2016, and 2017, the most popular costume was pirates. Alaska. Because, I don't know. And Wyoming in 2017, that was their most popular one. Now, I was looking on, it was like Google search terms and, you know, I guess sales they had and whatever, how they determined this, whatever the costumes were. Now, of course, they're like, you know, in 2019, it's it, you know, like clowns and crap. You know, a witch is number 2, Spider-Man 3, then goes dinosaur, descendants, whatever the hell that means. Clown, so like clown and itch kind of go in the same one. Then number 7 was Fortnite, 8 was Chucky, you know, then 9 was 1980s, unicorn, rabbit, pirate. Pirate was number 12, okay? But you can see all of this is just a bunch of Marvel crap. You know, they got at Walmart or something. But pirates is always hanging in there, you know? So I'm going, all right, so it's a pirate thing. Where's the state support for this? Where did this, and who's the offended party? You know, who's the one that's going, hey, man, you're appropriating my pirate lore, my pirate culture, my pirate haircut, my pirate. You see, there's nobody complaining, you know, or could complain. Pirates, you know, because they're pirates. Hey, you know, you're appropriating my pirate. I can do whatever I want. So it's that attitude is the thing that I was going on about. Now, you have other names, the references like pirate, like buccaneer, corsair, marauders, privateers.
Corsair.
And so on. Yeah, corsairs. You know, yeah, corsair. It's a sea wolf, a pirate. That's why when I looked up the thesaurus, when I was looking for a name, you know, he's like my son's 8 hours old, and I got girl names. Yeah. I didn't have, and I like Khan, Wrath of Khan, Ricardo Montalban. You know, it's kind of a king. You know, I thought it was just cool, but I couldn't. Mantu Khan. I mean, a little too tribal, you know.
Yeah.
So I was just
Genghis
like,
Genghis wouldn't cut it.
Right. Yeah, just wasn't going. So I went home and took a nap, and I going back to the hospital, and they're going to be waving some form in me. I, you know, you got to fill out your state form, or you're going to die. Right. Whatever. So, you know, everybody's wanting a name. So this was I get this name. This was mine. So I go, all right. I opened up the thesaurus. I just flipped it, and it said Corvette. Corvair, Corvette, Corsair. Now, I didn't know this, but, you know, a Corvair was the GM car or something. I don't think it meant anything else. Then you had, there was Corvette is a type of boat. It's like a PT boat, a patrol boat, you know, a shore boat kind of thing. And then, of course, the car and so on. But then they had Corsair, you know, a Corsair, F4U Corsair, the famous gullwing plane, World War II fighter, you know, Black Sheep Squadron and all that kind of stuff. And it's a type of ship, and it's kind of, it sounded kind of piratey, Corsair Con, boom, done. My dad goes, I'm going to call him Corey. I can't believe you would name a kid. I go, all the more reason to do it, you know. So, so Corsair. Now, where that comes from, it's French. Now, Corsair, they were privateers, though. They were authorized to conduct raids on shipping of a nation at war with France on behalf of the French crown. Seized vessels and cargo were sold at auction, with the Corsair captain entitled to a portion of the proceeds. Although not French Navy personnel, Corsairs were considered legitimate combatants in France and allied nations, providing the commanding officer of the vessel was in possession of a valid letter of marque. These letter of marques are lettres de corse, the latter giving Corsairs their name. So this letter of marque, or letter of course, is where Corsair came from. So these are officials. By acting on behalf of the French crown, if captured by the enemy, they could, in principle, claim treatment as prisoners of war instead of being considered pirates. So they were pirates. And then, you know, some of the, and the Barbary pirates in North Africa, when the Ottoman Empire was going on, they were called Turkish Corsairs. So a corsair is a pirate. Or the crown. You know, sometimes. What do you got? Oh. So I, you know, that's where Corsair came from. Then there's Buccaneer and Privateer. We'll talk about it. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic reports that dominate the headlines? Not sure if this is a good time to buy or sell your home, or feel like the process can be overwhelming and confusing? This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home buying or selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what to expect before, during, and after the process. A home is a place where the most important moments in your life happen, so making sure that you know exactly what to expect along the way helps to ensure that you have control. The future is here, so let me help you move forward with your real estate needs. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way. Now more than ever, you need an agent that can help you make sense of what many think is a complicated and mysterious process. Feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. 1819, or visit my webpage today at donnahancock.com.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we'll get back to the pirate thing here real quick. This is what Keith's doing over there. He's taking surveys for Democratic debate clips. And did you watch the debate?
Absolutely not. I've got better things to do.
But you taking that survey?
Absolutely. They send me, you know, Frank Luss, you know, F you Frank. Remember back in the day with Ron Paul, how he would slant his questions to the potential Republican
so
voters.
So it's him doing it. So they give you clips of somebody saying something stupid on the debate stage.
Correct.
And then
it's approximately 5 debate clips to 10 debate clips of any length of 15 seconds to 45 seconds. For example, in Beto, I did a survey on the previous debate, or the previous of the previous debate, where he had suggested something about taking away rifles and
we're going to take away your guns.
Your AR-15 is ours now. It's property of the
government. So what did you rate that one?
Well, we start out at 50. 50's right there in the midline, and if you like it a little bit, just ever so subtle, it's 51. If you love them, you know, if you want to, you know, let them...
You want to impregnate your, you know,
right,
girlfriend,
like,
or something.
Right, it's 100, and of course, if you disagree, it's 0, and so that cursor went from 50 to 0 real quick. And
Did you see the results of everybody?
No, we don't get to see the results. However, I believe, see, they always have a timetable. So these debates end probably at 11 p.m. at midnight Eastern Coast time, since we're on Mountain Standard now. We used to be on Pacific, but at the time I was on Pacific. So I get these clips perhaps before I go to bed at about 10-ish. So they want these clips in before 3 a.m. Friday morning, because I believe he wants to...
Go on TV or something
on the recent his information with the quick results on.
Okay, we'll get more to that. We can look forward to that. You know, the other thing, Frank Luss, he was, as a young guy, he made his name by doing the Ross Perot thing from 92. He went out and went, a young 20-something-year-old guy, went, what the heck is going on? We were right in the middle of that, you know. And it was... You know, where did this come from? And he would explain it to they, them, those, and, you know, whatever. So that's where he came from, was all this alternative. But he's got a bent, you know. Those are his butter, his bread's buttered. Okay, Buccaneer. A Buccaneer, now where that originally came from, this is, now keep in mind, the Spanish Empire had a lot of the New World. And they were, man, they were just, how many ships can we send back to Spain with gold in it? They're 40 million, you know, last time I looked, there's some ridiculous number, like 40 million indigenous people died from disease and swords, and mostly disease. You know, the Europeans came, just wiped out entire civilizations. We don't know what happened to these people, you know, and their pyramids got overgrown by the jungle of 600 years of, are you kidding me? I know why. Because they freaking, you know, died. That's why. So anyway, so what they did is they occupied much of the New World, and all those ships that had the gold and everything was stuff they ripped off from the Incas, you know, and everybody else. It was all about gold. And they come in and say, ooh, we see you got some gold, and eh, we're taking it. So the name originally applied to the landless hunters of wild boars and cattle in the largely uninhabited areas of Tortuga. Tortuga is on, like, the northwest corner of Haiti, off of that. Now, Haiti, they call it Hispaniola, which is Haiti, okay? So Tortuga, you keep hearing about that. That was a little island off of Haiti. The meat they caught was smoked over slow fires in little huts, and in French they called those boucanes. So they were boucaniers, you know, so that beef jerky makers. That's what a buccaneer really was. Now, a privateer was a private person or ship that engaged in maritime warfare under commission of war. That's why we call them letters of Captain Mark. They were letters of Mark and Reprisal, which is his female character. So we're going, fine, we got a letter of Mark from Mark. It wins, you know? So I'm going, you know, then we have, let's see, a percentage of the share usually went to the issuer of the commission, the Crown. So they would say, here's a letter of Mark. You're not a pirate. You're out there waging war against these people for me. As long as I get a cut, you're all legit. Well, it got to the point to where, like the British Empire, they used, it was some ridiculous amount, 7,000 to 9,000 privateer ships in their wars. It became a regular thing. Even George Washington, they hired a bunch of mercenaries. They did a letters of Mark, and they said, you know, all these British ships coming in supplying the redcoats in Boston, we'd rather them not have it, and we'd like to have it, so we'll go get some. So they go out, and boom, they laid waste. Now, of course, the British officers and the Crown and everything go, all these undisciplined dirty wells. Hell, even George Washington said that. They're not under my control. And but then there were some, they like anonymous letters that were read in Parliament, go, look, these guys are motivated by profit and patriotism, and they're pissed off at something that somebody did to them. They were shanghaied in the service, or they were escaped. You know, 40% of pirates were escaped African slaves. They're, you know, it's like half of the pirates were slaves that were freed by other pirates. You know, this, so that's why they're so popular. They were embraced by the American culture because they were like, screw you. John Hancock was a pirate. He was a smuggler. He didn't get permission slip from the Crown. He was Firefly Serenity. He was Captain Mal. So this is why they're so popular, certainly in the Americas, because they were a middle finger to the Crown. Now, September 19th is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Okay, you know this, right? Now, you know this, Talk Like a Pirate Day? So Talk Like a Pirate Day. I didn't know how recent it was. It was back in 95, in June of 95, there was, but out of respect for the observance of the Normandy landings, they didn't choose, you know, the day that it happened. It was a racquetball injury. Him and his friend were playing, arr! You sound like a pirate. Talk Like a Pirate Day. You got arr all day because his ankle hurt or something. So it was like, okay, between them, Talk Like a Pirate Day. Now, they sent a letter about their invented holiday to the American syndicated humor columnist Dave Barry in 02. And he liked it, and they did a Drunken Sailor sing-along go-go video and all that. I mean, it was just, you know, fun, and it became a thing. An international celebrated Talk Like a Pirate Day. How many days are there like that? You know, that's not recognized by the government. Yeah, you know, is there some government they're going to give a holiday to pirates? I don't think so. Which is all the more reason why it happens. So Talk Like a Pirate Day. Now, we never made a big deal. I get a lot of emails and text, and it kind of comes and goes. But one day, we're going to make a big deal out of Talk Like a Pirate Day, and it'll be some Pirates Without Border Cap. Now, when's the next one? Right before the 2020 election cycle. So might we have some fun then? I don't know, but it could be. Now, the Republic of Pirates, what they did from 1706 to 1718, Nassau, Bahamas, was heavy pirates. The reason was is that the Spanish kept attacking that port, which was under British control. Finally, everybody just left, and the pirates moved in. They go, okay, fine, we'll take it. You want to attack us? Bring it on. We need more ships. So they kind of left them alone, and for a decade, they just, you know, they partied. Party. Well, how do you keep a pirate crew in line when they're pirates? Because they voted for the captain. They voted on what raid they were going to do. But in battle, man, you didn't question the captain. They just shot you, man, justifiably. No, hell no. We're in battle. You do what the hell I tell you. Other than that, they determined everything. And that mentality, that idea, that concept of you own yourself, you signed on voluntarily, you voted for your leaders, you kept them in check, your representative was a quartermaster, that was the basis of American freedom.
The political world is a maddening cesspool of corruption and lies. Nobody tells the truth. Nobody keeps campaign promises. Nobody obeys the Constitution. Nobody puts the people first. How can we ever escape this web of tyranny? Vote for nobody.
Hi. My name is Nobody. I'm running for governor of New Hampshire because nobody knows how to live your life better than you do, and nobody deserves that kind of power. I want to put you back in control of your money, your lifestyle, your work, your body, and your life. Nobody should rule you but you. New Hampshire convicts many people of so-called crimes that should never have been prosecuted. If elected, I will pardon every victimless crime in New Hampshire history. This includes drug, gambling, prostitution, gun, and driving offenses. Nobody should have a criminal record when they have not harmed anybody.
Wouldn't it be nice to have nobody telling you what to do? Learn more at electnobody.com. Electnobody.com.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, we're watching Black Sail trailers. You know, Keith hasn't seen it. I go, you haven't seen Black Sails? Have you seen that? You know what he also has not seen? What have you not seen that you got to see, you communist?
Firefly.
Firefly. He's a non-Firefly watching. What? It's only like 13 episodes, you know, including the movie and so on. So, you'd enjoy it. I mean, I know, but you're not a big TV guy. I mean, you're not sitting at home in your, you know, underwear watching TV.
I'm sitting at home in my underwear, but you're not necessarily watching TV.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever you're doing. is it getting cold enough for miners yet?
It's getting close. I'm looking at them, and, you know, perhaps I should even get one more of the plastic, and then I'm going to have to either, if you have them, the...
I got a bunch out there. For ducting, you're talking about,
yeah,
right?
For ducting, and then there's the four. I have... two motion things. If you had two more, great. If not, I'll go to Depot to get some.
Motion thing? You mean fans or something?
No, the actual 4-inch wide circular.
Oh, the
tube.
Dryer ducting.
Yeah.
Now, what happened is last winter, because Keith has solar, so he has, like, at the end of the year, he's credited.
About 2,000 kilowatts this year.
What? You're going to have to burn through. So what he was doing, he was running four miners and... just to burn off his electricity, because he's banked up that he has to give back to the, you know, the power company for like nothing, like 2 cents a, you know, kilowatt or something, some ridiculous, stupid thing.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. So he's going, I need to burn it, man. I need to live large. We're gonna be 85 degrees. Now that's one thing. When it's cold, it gets cold here. It gets below freezing at night sometimes.
Sure does.
And you know, and you're walking around in your underwear because damn, you're like, I'm 85, 90 degrees in here. These damn miners going.
And I've got a sweetie coming in January. My sweetheart from Providence, Rhode Island, is coming. She's going to freaking love it. Because we're going up the Grand Canyon. But before that, we'll stay at my place both Thursday and Tuesday. So
she'd be warm and green. All right. Well, this is what's going on. Is it the same sweetie that was your number one sweetie of the sweeties? Or we got new sweeties? God, man, I thought you was all in love and stuff. Yeah, this didn't go. Out, so on the next. All right. It's not like, you know, you're not swiped right on all time. But anyway, yeah, whatever that means to you, you don't know. He doesn't need to. He goes dancing and said, ooh, pick me. Now, let's go ahead and talk about your trip. I want to hear. Well, just do the Bretton Woods thing, because I want to get to that. We get to Europe and everything. But, we're, you know, it's time. Yeah, Frank and Tim and I were sitting here hanging out. We were doing something. All of a sudden, we started getting these texts, you know, from Keith. Yep, I'm in Bretton Woods. And it shows where they created the... what the hell did they do at Bretton Woods?
Federal?
It was after the World War...
No, it was the fiat currency where the United States dollar was going to be the post-World War II currency of the world.
It was the creation of the Bretton Woods Agreement where the U.S. dollar was good as gold.
Exactly.
And then it wasn't.
Yeah, and so from that point on... all presidents and Congress and all legislators would be able to kind of negotiate with countries in such a way that they could do a quid pro quo, meaning I'll give you a pallet of these dollars if you'll do this for me. And that's what they've been doing for years.
Well, Keith brought over some salad, and, you know, we're playing cow here. All right.
Actually, Donna made this one. Well, Donna whipped it up. She actually brought the salad, but...
Oh, really? I thought you did.
Well, I was, but you needed a guest speaker that had a pulse.
All right, so get your butt on. All right. So what happened was it was Nixon administration, and that's when we went off the gold standard.
August of 71, I think, or something like that.
And this is when Ron Paul goes, here we go. And yeah, that's when he ran for office and stuff.
That's when he ran for office, yeah.
And it was because of this, because what he knew, what's happening now, he knew was inevitable. Now, they keep, you know, whistling past the graveyard and kicking the can down the road, but it just gets to where there's going to be, you're going to wake up one Monday, and America's done. Now, America Inc. will be done, and the government, the faster we get off of that and screw them and go precious metals and crypto or not them, you know, we'll be fine. But they'll just drag us down with them. The Titanic will sink, and they want to put a chain around our ankle and, you know, lash it to the freaking, you know, blade axle or something. I mean, you know, they want to drag us down. You're lashed to the railings or something, because I'm going, no. Pirate. So, what it was is de Gaulle, which was the head of France. He was the same de Gaulle that was World War II hero of Patton becomes president of France or something kind of thing. So he's there and he knows what's going on with the Vietnam War because France was in Vietnam. They had Vietnam going on. There were French plantations and so on that after World War II, all these people that they had enslaved being doing their rubber stuff or whatever they were doing, go, nah, we don't want French colonial rule anymore. And we just fought this to get rid of the Japanese and so on. So, and you want us, oh, you're going to be our boss again? You'll screw that. So they, nope. Well, so then Ho Chi Minh, that was, I think he was educated in France. You know, Ho Chi Minh was Western educated. So anyway, that was the deal. They get rid of Japan, we fight them for you, and we're free. And they go, well, kind of, sort of free. You know, they kind of reneged on that. So then the French were fighting in Indochina, and French Indochina, that's why they call it French Indochina. And so then the people go, nope. And finally the French go, yeah, we're done. We're out. You know, okay, fine. You want that bad? And they got their ass kicked a bunch. Then the U.S. go, well, we'll do it. You know, pick me. We want to do it. We'll take care of it for you. For whatever it means, what? You're going to get some rubber plantation? I don't know what the hell for, because they could. Oh, it's the communist domino effect of they'll all start falling and going communist and whatever. So I'm going, yeah, just, you know, give them a transistor radio. I mean, you know, within 15 years they'll be back anyway. But anyway, so what they did is the U.S. came in, and it was the movie with Mel Gibson. We Were Heroes or We Were Soldiers or something like that. Kind of depicted this new technology with these Huey helicopters of that mounted cavalry that was coming in. They were the air cav. So instead of horses, now they had helicopters. So they would come in, kick ass, and they won a battle, and they got all full of themselves, say, ooh, we're going to get some. And the Vietnamese, they knew, they go, yeah, you guys, all right, you guys want to play, you're in, here we go. And the Vietnam War started. Well, they needed a bunch of money to fund this thing. It was all, they were, you know, they were just printing money, which was devaluing the dollar because it was supposed to be redeemable in gold. And it was, certainly, maybe not for us, but for these deals that you're talking about they made with foreign countries, it was. So they give them pallets and, oh, no, we don't got to ship all that. Go, that's heavy. Now, we just give you this dollar thing. Well, de Gaulle came in and he goes, white man speak with forked tongue. I want my gold back. And here it is. And they came in with all these dogs. Give me my gold. Got to the point they said, man, we don't have enough. And they got a bunch of gold. They start redeeming. All our gold's gone. And we're screwed. So in national defense, here comes Richard Nixon. He goes, boom, the gold window's closed. We're not on the Bretton Woods Agreement anymore because we just decided. And because. So now your dollars are worth, you know, crap and whatever. So that's what was going on, and that's what motivated Ron Paul and started this cascade of gold bugs and all this kind of and everything. You got to do gold. And back then, I remember when gold was set at $80 an ounce or something. You know, then it shot up, oh, my God, to 250. And I remember it was 800, you know, in the late 70s when I, you know, about 80. You know, it shot up. My dad's all, woohoo, man, I'm making bank, you know. And so... it was at this time that it became obvious to a lot of people that it was the math, and it was Bretton Woods. Keith went there to channel some communist about something. I don't know. Why were you there?
No, my sweetheart, she actually booked a room there. And
wasn't it expensive?
It was incredibly expensive. Each room was $600, but here's the crazy thing.
Whoa.
When she walked in the room, she felt like this room was substandard, and she's a very easy to get along person. But there was like blood or something on the carpets. There was things on the walls. There were missing tiles in the bathroom. And she was saying, if I'm paying this much,
give me another room.
But see, but the Washington Hotel was built in the 1800s. And so people stay there not necessarily for the luxury of it, the history of it, but it was luxury back in the day.
So was there any redeeming value it had? Was it nice or?
It was very classy. I mean, very classy hotel.
With a couple of missing tiles.
Old school money. But they ended up comping her a room. So when they comped her a room for one night, guess who she brought along?
Woo!
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will. So pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And Keith Cernick, Tarzan Keith, he's telling us about his trials and tribulations. No, we were confused. He had a babe that he was all enamored with from Vancouver, because I guess dancing with the stars is an international thing. And not too far away and so on. But I remember at the Vaccine Education Summit, you stopped by for the party that night, and we got time to hang, and you were telling
sure
me
did.
All about. So I'm going, yeah, so how's that talk? No, I got a new. No, this is the new one that you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
for
so,
the record. For
so
the
you
record.
Have, yeah, okay, I just want to make sure we get this right, because, you know, you're.
So do I.
Yeah, and, you know, you're jumping around, man. We got to keep track. So this one's still going strong, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So you're still as enamored?
Oh, yeah.
Do I hear like somebody's going to start living with somebody or moving or something?
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm always up for anything, you know.
Especially if she moves here.
Oh, she'd love it here.
Oh, she's going to be here January.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
She'll stop on in.
All right, cool. She'll be crypto-warmed. She's all good.
Oh, yeah.
You know what we did? We did the same thing. I drove back to Massachusetts with Bob because he has his home there.
When you guys were up there in the Vermont, New Hampshire yeah. area, we were up there at Bretton Woods.
That was the same time?
Same freaking time.
Oh! God, where was I when I saw your text? Maybe I was with Bob. Yeah. Anyway, so we were back because Bretton Woods is New Hampshire, isn't it? Yeah. So when we were... We went back there, and we set up, now based on your experimentation here, well, we put the miners in his basement, heats that whole house, had to dial it back. We're going, maybe we can do two. But then it started getting into freezing, so he's doing the math, because he has the fuel oil, and he's going, all right, how much am I doing? How much is this doing? I'm getting paid back some. It does. And it was working. He's going, wow, it's like half. And then he goes, but then I got the bill. It's not what they say. There's a whole bunch of other taxes they put on. They go, oh, you're only paying 13 cents a kilowatt plus. And then one thing I found out here that really killed our mining, the reason that we're, you know, sharing these out with friends to warm their houses and whatever, is because what they call a fee is not really a fee. A fee to me is a set price per month. Well, these fees are based on how much you use. It's a tax. It's a rate. It's a lie is what it is. So I know these sons of. So it's one more reason I'm like, no, I mean, just do solar. I'm going to start making our own. I have this all wired up and done. I just haven't got the panels because I, I got limited resources. I mean, you know, it's got to get the invert, blah, 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 blah. So we make these portable little units for when we go camping and everything. I got the power. We have the power. One thing that we're going to do for Jackalope, you know, you didn't go this last year.
First year I missed.
You know, it was pretty cool. You know, Bob and I, Donna didn't go because, I had to run back. Sierra had Leo, her 12th grandbaby. So that was, I was risking it, you know, so I had to, you know, just throw it on and come back and, you know, see baby. The main thing that we're going to work on this year is that we got the power thing down. You know, we got, you know, a bunch of panels. He's got the system. We created these portable systems. So we got power taken care of. The only limiting factor there is for Bob to be there more than a couple of weeks is his water tanks. And remember that one year we brought that big white barrel and Donna got hot showers and we didn't. You got to have heated showers. We got that taken care of. We got a nice bathroom thing taken care of. We can do. So we're going, yeah, I think we're going to do the shower dome thing. But the problem is the water. So what it is, we figured out how much it is because we're up there during the monsoon the first weekend in August. So it rains at least, I don't know, an hour a day, a little bit, you know, and then it dries out in that meadow. It's kind of sandy and it's like you didn't even know it rained. But we're going to put big tarps up, like we had that big tarp that I did and everything. And funneling down to fill up those big totes out here. But when we did that, you can't take the water. Man, it's so heavy. You need to, you know, collect and replenish the water there. So we do this, and we did the math on it, how much you're like, damn, we can it get a good little rain thing. It'll fill up one of those barrels in 20 minutes.
15 minutes.
Yeah. We'll be fine. You know, so I'm going, okay, let's do that. So he's going to go up like a week early, and we'll get up there, and we'll get all the water thing in the trees there across the meadow and kind of set and everything. And what? Because there was a family there that had a nice restaurant thing. It was really good food. We did not lack for food there. What they had is one of those horse shower things with the propane. You put a hose up to it, and it kind of hot water and everything. $3. You go in, took a nice hot shower, came out, you're done. I'm going, hell yeah, I knew it would be like this. Now, before, Sean Dean and these guys had done solar ones, you know, and it didn't generate enough. It was good for, you know, but not for like a campsite. I mean, you know, but this is just how much propane and water you got. So we're going, yeah. Remember, we had the Hope system. We could reclaim the gray water and use it again, you know, and that's 25-cent shower. There's a $3 shower over here. So that's the only thing that was really kind of, you know, two things. One, generators just made a bunch of noise and it wasn't cool. Two, ATVs make a bunch of noise and it's not that cool. So we've gone solar for a lot of the energy, electric, everything's electric. And now they have conversion kits for ATVs. I got one ATV back there. I think I'm going to convert. And so is Bob. And then they had these bicycles. They had a mountain bike. It looks like a mountain bike, you know, with electric motor on it. It's called a Solo or something like that. He entered a cross desert 15-mile open class bunch of motorcycle race. It was two laps of this one circuit, 15 miles. He had to start 5 seconds after the last gas one went. A couple guys stalled there. Wait. He was way, man, they're freaking over the horizon dust cloud before he even got to go, and he won on a mountain bike electric against these motorcycles. And he had to beep all the time because they didn't know he was behind him. Beep, beep, meow. These things are awesome. But about 200 yards before the end, it ran out of power.
Oh, no.
And he had to push it the last 200 yards, and he still won.
Wow.
I'm telling you, man, it's here. It's going. Now, how would you charge it? Well, you have a bunch of panels out in the meadow out there or something, you know, and you just charge it. And a lot of the stuff that we do is mostly breakfast, you know, where all the appliances going on and everything. So we're just charging to have in all our phones and electronics and all that kind of crap. Because then you always got to take a trip in the car or turn on the car, and then you're draining that and, you know, that kind of crap. You know, but we got these solar generators that we did. So this Jackalope thing is, I think we might do another contest this coming year. Because we saw a lot of innovation when we did that.
Well, the physical fitness contests are my interest, with the shot put, the discus, the golf.
The first year we did that.
Yeah.
Now, Keith and I, we keep talking about in that meadow, we're going to have some Olympic thing.
Olympics, that's right.
And do that. I know. We just always get so busy. And the one thing about Jackalope is you just go and you don't have to do anything. But Bob's retired and on vacation. So he's like, you know, back working on his childhood home. His parents built it in the 50s. So he finally wound up going to him after the death of his mother and sisters. And he has a brother there. But, you know, Bob is, you know, and I got to meet his brother. And he comes and uses a pickup truck, gets some plywood and kind of stuff. So we just, I mean, I went head down, plowed on, you know, fixing up his basement and doing some demo and all that kind of crap, moving things. And he's sending me pictures regularly. He's doing it. But I also got him to work on, we got a K40 laser, one of those big lasers that cuts and etches and all that kind of stuff. Well, Derek has one. So I went up there while I was helping, you know, get all his stuff inside, clean it out, whatever, in his warehouse to bring his vehicles in for the winter and all that kind of stuff. In exchange, he was up there. Of course, I just soon to get out of my way, but he was up in his office. He has a nice room up there that's for all his projects, his maker lab kind of hacker thing. Well, he has a K40 laser in there, and he spent all day with Bob teaching him how to do it. We go back to his house where we had it set up, get it all set up and ready. First time, man, lots of pirate goodies we've already done. He's done them, burned them, cut them, urethaned them, took them up to the quill up there. They're spread all over the free state if he's up there having a good time. You know, we should talk to Bob. Just this last weekend, he went up to Jay Noon's to work on his dome thing again. And I'd like to hear about that. And there's just so much stuff going on. Oh, here's another news. Jacob Hornberger from Future Freedom Foundation is running for president as a libertarian.
Yeah, I saw that. I like that guy. I like Jacob. I sent some emails.
We might have some fun with this. But they want to resurrect the level. Oh, yeah, those little chrome Levolution. Randy Paulson wants to buy a bunch of them. He couldn't find them. He got them on eBay, two of them, $100 a piece from South Africa. He goes, Ernie, you got any? I go, yeah, I got a few. Well, he wants them on all his cars all the time. And whenever he buys new cars, he needs. He goes, I'm going to have to start, you know, melting them off or something. You know, he's like, so he wants to make a big order. I got to find the guy that did them and get the art and make it identical and Bobby, whatever, and we'll start doing them again.
I still have mine.
Yeah, I got like a few extra here, but you know, it's that's classy. You know, that was a good idea. It's just a Levolution chrome thing about 8 inches, 10 inches long, and it goes on your back of your car. It's just cool. Toyota gets their emblem, and we get our Levolution. I mean, you know, done.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.